May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the epistle lesson, especially these words. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, Christianity is a very physical religion. We talk a lot about material stuff. We assert that a good God created the world, all that we see and hear and smell and taste and touch, and that when he created it, he declared it to be good. We assert that a loving God created mankind, male and female, and after he created them, he declared it to be very good. We teach that mankind, through a spiritual and physical act, namely believing the lies of Satan and eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, fell into sin, bringing death to the world. We teach that God sent people, prophets and priests and kings and ordinary people, to usher forth his plan of salvation for humanity. We teach that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, was born in the flesh, in the body of Jesus Christ, true God and true man, and that that body was sacrificed on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, raised again for your justification, ascended into heaven, and now his body fills all things. We teach that God comes to you even now today in his word, in your baptism, through the forgiveness of sins, and in the Lord's Supper, the last of which is our subject for this morning. The people of God in the Old Testament offered sacrifices to God, even in the book of Genesis, before the law had been given, before the priesthood had been established. Even Cain and Abel offered sacrifices. But the chief sacrifice, the one I think is most important for us to consider this morning, is the sacrifice of the Passover. It started in Egypt when the Israelites were enslaved. The Passover was an act of God's mercy through which the people were saved from the 10th plague, the angel of death killing all the firstborn of man and beast in all of Egypt. The people were to sacrifice a male lamb at twilight, to roast it, to eat a specific meal in a specific way, and to spread the blood of the lamb over the lintels and the doorposts of their home. When the angel of death saw the blood, he would pass over that house, and all inside would be spared. And God told the people about this festival. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. Forever. Every year, without fail, year in and year out, until the end of time, the people were supposed to celebrate this feast, to celebrate their being saved from the angel of death in Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. In Jesus' time, the Passover was still celebrated. In fact, Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples on the night when he was betrayed. The lambs for the Passover sacrifice in Jerusalem, no longer in Egypt, but in the Promised Land. We are told they were raised in and around the town of Bethlehem. It's no coincidence then that Micah tells us, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is ruler in Israel. When the wise men came looking for the one who had been born king of the Jews, they are told to go to Bethlehem, where the shepherds, who had been watching their flocks by night, their lambs, were told that Christ had been born in a manger. And so it is that God comes to us, not primarily in dreams or visions or things that we don't understand, but in a body born in a certain time, in a certain place. Really, could it have been any other way? A body which dwelt in the womb of his mother Mary, a body that spoke through Mary and caused the body of John the Baptist to leap in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, a body that needed parents to care for it, a body that grew up into a young boy and then a man, a body that could feel hunger and thirst, a body that could be tempted, a body that could rejoice, a body that could cry, yet a body without sin, a body that would be sacrificed, that would die, just like those many Passover lambs. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, and a body that rose from the dead. That body spoke to Mary in the garden. That body prepared breakfast for the disciples. That body Thomas was able to touch. A body which speaks to you. A body which prepares you a meal. A body which you can touch. For this is the same body which you receive in the Lord's Supper, given for you. Christ's body given and his blood shed for you. This is what you hold in your hand and taste on your lips. Nothing less than Jesus Christ himself. A man named Ignatius, who was a bishop and a martyr in the second century, called the Lord's Supper, quote, a medicine of immortality and the antidote which wards off death, but yields continuous life in union with Jesus Christ. Luther in the Large Catechism writes, in this sacrament, our Lord offers us all the treasure he brought from heaven for us. We must never regard the sacrament as a harmful thing from which we should flee, but as a pure, wholesome, soothing medicine which aids and quickens us in both soul and body. For where the soul is healed, the body has benefited also. Or as one of our hymns puts it, what God ordains is always good. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. Now you may wonder if we are disobeying God's ordinance since we no longer observe the Feast of the Passover as it was instituted in the Old Testament. Remember, it was supposed to be observed forever. But in fact, we do observe that feast every Sunday morning. We celebrate the even greater Passover. As we heard in our epistle reading, when he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. The Father prepared for the Son a body which died. And in so doing, the burnt offerings and the sacrifices of the Old Testament were no longer needed. The first Passover had been completed. The many lambs offered for that sacrifice no longer required. For Christ is our Passover lamb. The celebration of the Lord's passing over the households of the Israelites in Egypt has been magnified into the celebration of the angel of death passing over your households. Death no longer has hold of you, those who have been baptized, those who celebrate this feast of the Passover in the body and blood of Jesus from this altar, the body of Christ broken on the cross, in, with, and under the bread, the blood of Christ shed on the cross, in, with, and under the wine, just as Christ has promised it would be. All of this All of this is why we Lutherans make such a big deal out of the sacrament. Why, for example, we treat the altar with such reverence. Why the linens are carefully cleaned and placed. Why there is so much ancient ceremony that takes place surrounding the eating and the drinking. It's because something divine is happening. Something we cannot completely understand. The Son of God is literally breaking into his creation. We are worshiping with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Jesus came at his incarnation that first Christmas and continues to come every week. A miracle takes place as the words of institution are spoken, as the body and blood are distributed, as you eat and drink. What else could this be but a miracle of Christ's presence? He not only descended from heaven that first Christmas to dwell in our sin-filled world, but he descends upon us in the supper and comes into our sin-filled lives, offering forgiveness. Your Lord comes to you in Holy Communion. This is the purest gospel. For he comes to you not to condemn you, but to feast with you. Not to judge you in wrath, but to offer you the forgiveness of your sins. We who believe that his body and blood are present, we are blessed through this meal, just as he has promised. By the Father's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.